love how the Bible puts it. If God is for me, he's more than the whole world.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Ball.
If my God is
church
is for me,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
You may be seated in the presence of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Certainly thank God for this another opportunity to stand before you on today to share the word of God. ABT, can you bring my volume down a little bit? It's kind of a little loud. Thank you so much. I certainly am thankful for our praise and worship team. My son, Micah, got up. Amen, amen, amen. I'm certainly very, very proud of him as well. I did not put him up to do it. He's been asking to do it for weeks. He wanted to do it a couple of weeks ago. He came in on Sunday like, Dad, can I sing with her? And he tried the song. I said, son, you can't get up there unless you know every word to the song. So you're going to have to practice it a little bit. So I'm so proud of him and thankful for our praise and worship leader. Amen, 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 amen. I certainly want to give a tremendous shout out to a team of brave souls. I mean, brave souls. There was about 12 people who came out on yesterday to do outreach, reaching out to the community, letting everyone know about our Easter celebration. And y'all, it was cold. I mean, it was, this don't make any sense, kind of cold. But they all came out, put on Uplift shirts, handed out flyers. We went out to the town center, and then we went over to one of the fastest Easter egg hunts in history. The city of Laurel was doing an Easter egg hunt, and because it was cold, I think it lasted about 7 minutes and 13 seconds. It was really, really quick, but I'm certainly thankful for them who were able to come out and to share with us on yesterday as we shared the gospel. Amen. If you have your Bible, your book of instruction before leaving earth, I invite your attention to the book of Matthew. We are continuing or finishing a series, RSVP, where we talked about the fact that God is having a party. God is having a party, and we are invited to the party. Not only are we invited to the party, we are invited to invite others to the party. This is a party that has been going on since God said, let there be light. He started planning for the party. And then when Jesus came, the music struck up and everybody was dancing at the party. And so we are finishing this particular series as it is Palm Sunday. We invite you to turn to Matthew chapter number 21. Matthew chapter number 21. We ask that we all stand to honor the reading of God's word as we look to share from Matthew chapter number 21. If you have an iPhone, an Android, an iPod, an iPad, or I use the, what's this, Microsoft's, whatever it's called. It's one of the pads. We invite you to turn there as well. Matthew chapter number 21. I'm looking forward to sharing this word because I believe this word is going to help launch someone into their purpose and destiny in life. When you have Matthew chapter number 21, say amen.
Amen.
If you're still looking, say hold up. All right. Matthew chapter number 21, I'm reading from the New International Version, not because it's better than the other versions. It's the version that I, as a pastor, choose to go with. You may have another one, so it may read a little different. Nevertheless, the word of God still impacts our lives. Here's what it says, Matthew chapter number 21. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on it. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him, those that followed, shouted, Hosanna! to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! The highest and the highest. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? Crowd answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. You may be seated in the presence of God, and as you're taking your seat, look at your neighbor. This is what we do every Sunday, so y'all get the smile on, get excited about it. Look at your neighbor. I want you to mean this when you say it. Say, neighbor, today's sermon is, I was born for this. Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. I want you to mean this. Neighbor, this morning's sermon is, I was born for this. I was born for this. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. These your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I'll wait for thee. Word of my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit divine, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was born for this. For those that were here on last Sunday, I introduced you to the story about the bumblebee. For those who were not here, I'll tell you a little bit about the amazing story of the bumblebee. It talks about some aeronautical scientists who were meeting together one Sunday afternoon and in flew a bumblebee. Because they were aeronautical scientists, they were amazed by the bumblebee. And so they stopped the bumblebee and said, excuse me, would you mind if we did a little bit of research on you? Bumblebee was a little bit annoyed because the bumblebee had a busy schedule. The bumblebee pulled out his bumblebee phone, looked at his schedule. Now, listen, I got a lot to do right now. I got some people waiting on me. I'm a little busy. I got a lot of shopping to do. They say it won't take long. And so the bumblebee says, well, since you all are aeronautical scientists, and for whatever reason, if it's so important that all these scientists want to spend time with me, sure, no problem, but don't take too long. The aeronautical scientists began to do their research. They pulled out all kinds of books, and they did all kinds of calculations as they looked at the wingspan of the bumblebee and the body size of the bumblebee, and they did all kinds of thinking about it based on physics and science, and they looked at the bumblebee and said, wow, we have learned so much about you. And bumblebee said, well, what did you learn? They said, well, it's shocking, but you actually can't fly. You can't fly. The bumblebee said, well, that makes no sense. They said, no, because of the body of your, the size of your body and your wingspan, your wings are not strong enough for you to fly. I mean, it's just science. And so you are going to have to walk back to wherever you came from. And the bumblebee laughed, and the bumblebee went on and flew out the window. Bumblebee kind of laughed at them because they told the bumblebee what they could not do. They told the bumblebee what she should not do. They told the bumblebee that science, in essence, has already proved that you're not good enough for this. Science has already proved that you don't have the ability for this. Bumblebee, in essence, says, listen, when I was born, I wanted to fly. I don't know why it was I wanted to fly, but I just had a desire in me that says, take off and start flying. And ever since then, I've always flown. I don't really care what your science says. This is a desire that God has placed in me. And so I just started flying. Somebody in here this morning, God has put an ability in you, a skill, a passion. It's your reason for being. You stay up late at night thinking about how you can do what you're passionate about rather than what people say about you. You have had other people judge you and critique you and try to tell you you can't based on their opinion of you, but they don't know the desire and purpose that God has placed in you. It's frustrating to know that you can do so much more, but you are limited by other people's view of you. You know there is greatness in you. You know that God has created you for more than your current circumstance. And so like the bumblebee, you should say, don't limit me. I was born for this. In the text, brothers and sisters, we learn something vital from what is often an overlooked character. I love looking at this particular text because let me share a little bit with you about preaching the art form, I guess, of preaching. When I was in undergrad, shockingly, I went to even undergrad for biblical studies. My professor told us this. The professor said, students, please make sure you don't give people microwave service. By that, he says, don't just tell the same old story the same old way. You went to school for this, so expose them to something new in the text. And so I try to do that as often as I can. And so every year, Palm Sunday comes around. Every year, Easter's going to come around. Every year, Christmas is going to come around. These are just some regular themes that we deal with. So how do we talk about Palm Sunday and how do I expose something to people what they may not have been exposed to before? It's the same Bible, it's the same text, but how do we paint a picture in such a way that they will want to learn something from it? Today, brothers and sisters, in our Palm Sunday message, we're going to look at a character that has a starring role in the text but is often overlooked. Starring role in the text. Normally, when it comes to Palm Sunday, we talk about them waving palms and shouting Hosanna. But there is a central character in the text that is often overlooked. But this character plays a major role. We are going to learn a little bit today. We're going to learn some life lessons from the donkey. Today, we're going to learn some life lessons from the donkey. Today, we're going to learn how to fulfill our reason for being from the donkey. The text says in verses 1-3 that as Jesus approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, he sent two disciples saying, go to the village ahead of you, and once you're there, you'll find a donkey tied there with her coat by her. Untie them and bring them to me. Here's our first point, brothers and sisters. If you're taking notes, it's simply this. Jesus knows where you are and what's holding you. Nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, Jesus knows where you are and what's holding you. For somebody, that alone helps you in your place in life. Knowing that God knows where you are. Not only does he know where you are, but he knows that something is limiting you. Something is restraining you from being all that you could be. Up to this point in the gospel, Jesus has performed many miracles. He has healed people with leprosy. He has opened blinded eyes. Those that were mute were able to talk. Large crowds of people had began to follow Jesus, and they were listening to what he had to say. In one beautiful scene, many of y'all may recall the story. Jesus is on the side of a mountain. He sits down on the side of the mountain. He begins to tell them some things about loving their enemies and tell them about prayer. We know it as the Beatitude. Jesus clearly has authority and power unlike any other religious teacher. People have waited for such a powerful leader for many years, and they began to see Jesus as the one king whom they had been hoping for. Jesus knew that he was born into this world for a reason, and that reason was to usher in God's party, the kingdom of God. And everybody expected something great from Jesus now that they heard him preaching and teaching and healing. Jesus now comes to the last week of his earthly life. We call it Holy Week. He and the disciples are making their way to Jerusalem. They are simply on a trip. The disciples, we hang with Jesus. We walk with Jesus. You know, we go from city to city. They're just on another trip to another city. It's cool for them. But Jesus knows this is the last trip he's going to take with his disciples. He says to two disciples, I want you to go ahead of me into a village across from us, and there you will find a donkey and her colt tied up. Untie them and bring them to me. Jesus, the popular preacher, Jesus, the teacher, Jesus, the one who's healing people, has a whole crowd following him. Jesus, who for 3 years did all kinds of miracles. Everybody knows Jesus. Meanwhile, the donkey and the colt are tied up. They're tied up somewhere. Maybe they have been used to being tied up because it's their lifestyle. After all, they're just donkeys. Every now and then, maybe somebody would ride them or use them for plowing or something of that nature, but they were just donkeys, and so they were used to their condition in life. They had a rope put on them by somebody else, and that rope limited them. I mean, maybe they could look out and they could see nice fields they would love to run in, but they can't because they are limited. Maybe the colt, the baby donkey, when it was first born, the colt, for whatever reason, thought, I can run and do whatever I wanted to do. But because the colt had a rope on it, the colt would try to pull against the rope. And you could almost see the mother just shaking her head because the colt's not going to get loose from this rope. You can almost see the mother reliving her own life story when she tried to get free. And she just says, no, baby, you can't. You can't get free from this. You are limited. Just get used to being limited in life. Maybe they wanted to do more, but after all, they are donkeys. And so they are limited. They may have wanted to do and be more. But I love it because in the text, though they are tied up, though they can see and desire hope, they couldn't get there, but their time was coming. Jesus sends two disciples to get the donkey and the colt because the Lord had need of them. Ooh, somebody missed that. Let me try it again. Jesus sent two disciples to get that which was tied up, limited, held back by what other people had put on them. Jesus said, go get them because the Lord has need of them. Let me say it again because this is for somebody right now. This is your breakthrough. Jesus says, go get them because the Lord has need of them. It suggests to us that God knows the burning desire of our heart. God knows the inner call that he's place within us. God knows what he has preordained for our lives. God also knows what's holding us. God knows what's limiting us, what's binding us, what ties us up, what hinders us from doing what we are preordained to do. And that's for someone sitting in here this morning. You know that God has called you to do and to be more than what you are doing. You know that where you are in life is not what God will have for you to be. You know that you have been limited by circumstances, sitting at a job where you are frustrated, knowing that you could do and be more, staying in a relationship where you are frustrated, knowing that you wanted more for your life, knowing that you're looking at your finances saying, God, I expected more for my life. Brothers and sisters, God has sent me by with the words to let you know that he knows exactly where you are and what's limiting you. God sent me by to say that the kingdom work must be done, and it's time for you to be untied. It's time for you to be unbound. Yes, it's time for the chains to come off in your life. No longer can you be hindered and held back by your past. No longer can you be limited by other people's views of you. No longer can you be held back by your family history, held back and tied down by traditions, limited by relationships. You know that God has placed purpose in your life and he has a destiny for you. And it's time for chains to come off. It's time for you to walk in your purpose. It's time for you to fulfill what God has designed for you to fulfill. God knows exactly where you are and what's holding you. And it's time to be loose. Jesus says to the disciples, I know that there is a town across from here. I've never been to the town yet. I don't know exactly where these donkeys are, but I know that there are some donkeys there. There's a donkey and a colt, and they are tied up. The disciples do as they're instructed. They find the donkeys where Jesus told them they would be. The disciples start to untie them. And when they do, persons may say, why are you untying the donkeys? response is, the Lord has need of them. I love this because whenever you try to break free from things that limit you, those who have been holding you back will want to know, why are you getting free from this? I want your response to be, the Lord has need of me. When people try to hold you back, they want to know, why are you breaking free? Your response ought to be, the Lord has need of me. Why are the trains coming up? Because the Lord has need of me. Why are you breaking free? Because the Lord has need of me. I've got work to do. God knows exactly where you are and what's limiting you. Here's our second point, brothers and sisters. Not only does God know where you are and what's limiting you, God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. I remember when we first began to plan the launch of Uplift Church, we had a launch team together and we were talking about what we wanted Uplift Church to be and what we wanted Uplift Church to do. What was God saying to us? And one thing we talked about was this, that we want to be a place where people have God-given gifts and talents which they have been hiding from the world, but they're able to come into Uplift and to live their reason for being. The German term is Sitzen Leben. Why are you created for? One French scholar put it this way. If you know your why for living, you can almost deal with any how. As long as I know why I'm here, I can go through what I gotta go through. I can put up with what I gotta put up with because I know why God created me. And so here it is. Not only does God know where you are and what's limiting you, God has a purpose for your life. There is a difference between our occupation and our vocation. There is a difference between our occupation and our vocation. An occupation is what we do because they pay us to do it. Some of us have occupations. They just pay me to be here. And the pastor, listen, as soon as 5 o'clock rolls around, I know they're not paying me no more. They couldn't convince me to stay here. The only reason why I'm here is because they pay me. And if they stop paying me or dare to pay me one penny less, I'm packing everything I have. By that, I mean the notepad I actually bought and my pictures. Everything else is there. I'm going to take that. But everything else, I'm going to leave there. I'm leaving because the only reason why I'm here is because it's an occupation. They just pay me to be here. Matter of fact, some of y'all right now, you get paid, but you're just looking for some God. As soon as another opportunity comes, I'm running. That's an occupation. A vocation is what you do because you love to do it. Even when you're not paid to do it, I wake up thinking about it. I go to sleep dreaming about it. I have magazines that I just look and I hope I can do it. That's a vocation. Oftentimes we describe the work of ministry as our vocation. I say anything that God has placed in your life and your heart to do is your vocation. For somebody, your vocation may very well be to write because God has put that desire in your heart. For somebody else, it may be to sing or to paint. But the point is that God has a purpose for your life. There's a man by the name of Scott Gottrue who put it like this. I've been in this place many times before. After a few years at a job, I become restless and want to move on. He says that there are days when I feel like I'm stuck. And I just need to push through because no job is perfect. I have pondered on this for several weeks now, and I realize I'm frustrated because I'm not fulfilling my vocation. I'm trying to make the task I complete to be the end-all vocation of my life. I'm not doing the hard work of seeking out things I'm passionate about. I'm not doing the hard work of seeking out things that bring me joy. Many of us spend a lot of time thinking about how to pay bills, but very little time thinking about why we are really here on earth. We haven't learned to discern the difference between our occupation and our vocation. As long as we keep trying to find fulfillment in the task that we complete in our occupation, we will still be frustrated in life. We will not find fulfillment in life until we come to grips with our reason for living. Ask yourself the question, what is my reason for being? The text lets us know that Jesus sent for the donkeys for a reason. Verse 4 says, all of this was done to fulfill prophecy. They were donkeys. Not much was expected of them. They were not as strong as an ox. They were not as fast as a horse. As a matter of fact, donkeys are stubborn animals. They were donkeys. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus has a large crowd of people following him. Jesus has healed people. Jesus has even walked on waters. Jesus has spoke to storms and they have stopped. What in the world could this Jesus need with donkeys? I mean, they can't do much. All he can possibly do is ride on them. But in reality, he's not even going that far. He could actually walk there. So why does Jesus need these donkeys? For some of us, brothers and sisters, that's our challenge in life. We have to try to wrestle with how can God want to use somebody like me? I mean, I'm not holy. As a matter of fact, I'm very far from holy. I speak in tongues, but Pastor, it ain't holy tongues. I drink communion, and I'm not talking about Welch's grape juice. My life ain't all that together. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't even choose me. I'm broken. I'm wounded. I'm messed up. I'm much like the donkey. I'm stubborn, and I'm difficult to put up with. Many of us struggle with how and why would God want to use me. In the text, after all, they're just donkeys. Jesus could have picked another animal, but he needed donkeys. But Jesus knows that he has a bigger picture in mind. Jesus knows that God is up to something. Jesus knows that God has these donkeys created and placed where they are for a purpose. Verse 5 says, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and riding on a donkey. In the Eastern tradition, the donkey is an animal that symbolized peace, and a horse symbolized war. Whenever a king entered in riding on a horse, it symbolized, y'all, we're going to war. But when a king comes in sitting on a donkey, it means we are at peace. The donkey was still not as strong as an ox, nor as fast as a horse, but it had a role to play in God's plan. The donkey was responsible for carrying the King of Kings to the people, letting them know I'm ushering in a time of peace. There is a story about two painters. They were tasked with entering into a contest, and they had to paint two scenes of peace. These had to paint a scene of peace. And so one painter painted a beautiful scene. And it was flowers and birds flying through the air. You could almost just feel the peace. It was a beautiful scene. The other painter painted storm clouds, lightning, torrential downpour of rain. Wind was blowing. Then far off in the back, he has a bird on a branch under a leaf sitting still. And he called that peace. Because it let everyone else know, even when there are storms raging in your life, even when the rain is pouring down, God is able to come in and to usher in peace. When all hell seems to be breaking loose around you, that's real peace. When I can know that I'm safe in his arms, Jesus comes in, he's riding on a donkey because it's fulfilling prophecy. The donkey was born to play a part in the kingdom of God. And you too have a part to play in the kingdom of God. Just like the donkey, you are the one who bring the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, to the people who are hurting. You are the ones who bring peace to somebody else's life who doesn't even know that Jesus is the answer for what they are going through. You and I are just like the donkey because we have been blessed to carry the gospel message into the world. I hear you say, Pastor, I'm not some great evangelist. That's just not me. Well, you might not be able to preach. You might not be able to sing. But God has given you a purpose for his glory. If you want to fulfill your purpose in life, then search for your reason for being. If you can't preach, then maybe you can sing. Sing and let the world know that Jesus is the answer for the world today.
If you can't sing, then you can write to tell somebody that Jesus can save them. If you can't write, then you can paint a picture letting them know that Jesus will bring in peace for them. If you can't draw or paint, then pick up somebody and bring them to church. If you can't drive, then call somebody on the phone and let them know that Jesus can change their life. If you don't have a phone because your phone service only works between 9 and 11 p.m., that's fine. Get on Facebook and send a message to tell somebody that Jesus can change your life. If you don't have Facebook, then shout out glory to let somebody know that Jesus can put them back together again. And if you can't sing, if you can't preach, if you can't write, if you can't call, if you can't say a word, then do like the songwriter say, if I can't say a word, then let me just wave my hand because I gotta tell somebody. Jesus is the answer. God knows where you are and what's holding you from fulfilling your purpose in life. God has created all of us with a purpose. I love this next part, and then I'm out of the way. A third part is this. There is a celebration when ability meets opportunity. There is a celebration when our God-given ability connects with opportunity. The text says that the disciples bring the donkey back to Jesus. But they put a coat on the coat. Jesus begins to ride the coat towards Jerusalem. As he's riding towards Jerusalem, a great crowd of people begin to come around. They throw their coats on the road. Others cut down palm branches and they spread them on the road. The crowd starts cheering, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The whole city is stirred up because Jesus is coming into town. John said they put palm branches as a sign of victory, saying that the battle is already won. We'll have peace now. They shouted out, Hosanna to the Son of David. There's a great celebration. Can you see the scene? All kinds of throngs of people are lining the road, waving their palm branches, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Others are taking their coats off and they're throwing them on the road. Others are cutting down palm branches and throwing them on the road. It's a parade because the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is coming in. He's ushering in priests, and they need that in their life. Hosanna to the Son of David. It's a great commotion. People are everywhere. There's excitement in the air. But wait, did you see him? Did you notice him? Through all the crowd, through all the excitement, through all the cheering, the people laying their coats on the road, and Paul, did you notice? Did you notice the donkey? No one's cheering for the donkey, but he's still in the parade. No one even notices the donkey, but he's still in the parade.